Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Hey everybody, I'm here in the beautiful Blue Mountains. As you can see, there's the three sisters behind me. I'm blessed to be here on not a foggy day, so I can see everything. It's beautiful up here. I'm actually in the territory of our dear friend, Pastor Joshua Opadia. Now, I'm not here right now. I'm filming this a couple of weeks beforehand, but I wanted to honor this man being in his territory of New South Wales. He is the senior pastor of our Sydney church in the south side and has been the senior pastor there for over 18 years now. And so we're really honored to have him. His beautiful wife, Yinka, are two of our best friends in this region, and he also serves as an apostolic leader in our movement in Oceania and serves as the leader here. And so we're really honored to have him come and speak for us today and come and share the word of God and impart to us. So please open your hearts and let's give a warm round of applause. Every Nation Brisbane, please welcome Joshua Opadia as he comes to bring the word. Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever. Wow, thank you, Pastor Nelly. Good morning, Ian Brisbane. Wow, you know what? I knew exactly when Pastor Nelly came to Sydney. I didn't know when he filmed that, but I knew when he came to Sydney. So it's good to be here. It's my first time here in this beautiful building here. I bring greetings from EN Sydney. And also, really, a very special mention to all our EN Sydney members that migrated to Brisbane. Can I hear a big hallelujah? We love you. Everybody say I should say hello to you. You know, one thing is very interesting because people keep coming to me, Pastor, I feel called to Brisbane. I feel, you know, we want to move. We feel there's a call for us to Brisbane. And I keep wondering, what is it that keeps wanting people to come to Brisbane? Do you all, anybody knows about it? Nice weather. Okay, but I have good news for you. The State of Origin Trophy is now in the Blue Territory. So you better come back to the winning side. Wow, it's great to preach for my very dear friend. We've known each other for really as long as Every Nation has existed here in this side of the world, right from Auckland, and then Pastor Nelly moved to Singapore, and then also back here again. So we've been part of the movement for that length of time. So it's good to be here, and I'm sure the beautiful wife and the family will be somewhere here, or maybe they'll be here later. Now, from Sydney, there was APEC in October. How many of you know APEC? APEC is where the pastors and missionaries gather together. We had, this one was in Malaysia. And God gave us a prophecy for Sydney and for Australia. And since then, we in Sydney have 3 congregations in Sydney. We've actually been doing what we call Better Together. And it's been a journey with all our churches, with all our leaders, with everybody that is bought in into the vision and trying to see what God has for us in the whole of the city of Sydney. So here is my beautiful family. That's my daughter, Angelique, my son, Emmanuel. That's my wife, Yinka, and myself. And right there, you see the idea of being better together in Sydney. This is a photo of our volunteers. That's all the volunteers. Not all of them came, but anyway, all the people that were available, that volunteers in our 3 congregations in Sydney, came together. We had a dinner. It was such a fantastic time of really kind of trying to see the unity and and the testimony from there was really incredible. And then we're also having a couple of things. I just want to show you this This is a citywide convergence. That's Pastor Larry was here a couple of, actually last week. Here he was preaching for us also, and you can see him there in the picture in one of the convergence that we had, that we brought all the churches came together, and we call it Better Together. And then we also have the citywide leadership training that also happened during the year. We have the mission team. We actually just sent off the mission team back to America. We had about 40 of them. It was incredible, you know, just helping us to really jumpstart, you know, our campus, our university work. So, yeah, the almost 40 of them that came from Texas, from Dallas, from Florida, and Atlanta, Georgia. So they came and they've helped us a lot in our city. So we're very blessed to have them. And we have the city work that is going on in this place. So God is doing amazing. I just wanted to show you some of those photos so you know what is happening here. Amen? Every Nation Brisbane. You know, as I was getting ready for this message, I thought to myself, what can I bring, you know, to EM Brisbane? I didn't want to bring any deep theological exegesis kind of study to you, because I know that your pastor does a great job at that. In fact, that's why he's in Wheaton. He's in Wheaton College now. You know what I mean? Wheaton is where all the theological brains gather together. So I thought I wouldn't do that. In fact, I also thought, well, even if I did that, I'm not going to come back next week to correct all my wrong exegesis. So I better not set up myself here. So I thought to myself, what should I bring? I thought I should bring a word of encouragement. And not only that, God has placed on my heart to pray, to lead some specific prayers. You know, I don't know whoever that will relate to, but I believe God doesn't make a mistake. Amen. So the message I'm going to bring to you today is just going to be a word of encouragement, and we're going to have a time of prayer. But before we go on, we're going to read the scripture for today, and I'm going to invite Michael to do that for us, to read the scripture for today. It's found in Psalm 46. Psalm 46.
Thank you, Pastor. Psalm 46, this is the ESV version. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nation rages. Kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations of the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Thank you very much, Michael. Michael is the voice of the house. Let's appreciate him. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Help our mind to comprehend what you had sent to us today. Let our spirit be open and yielded. Let every confusion fly out of this place. Let there be a holy moment of God's presence. And let it fall upon every soul. Because you, God, know the desires of the heart of your people. You know what they need. So speak as you want to speak, and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This psalm we just read encourages us to hope and trust in God. Have anybody really, you're in that position to hope and to trust in God. What God has done for us and what it will do for us is what makes us to continue to rejoice in his presence. Because he's done so much for us and he has not even finished with us yet. He will still do more than we expect. Now, there's a summary of this particular psalm, which I picked up from my study Bible. And I want to read it. If you read that psalm, if you followed the reading of the psalm, it says, we can almost hear the commotion as the mighty armies bear down on God's people, perhaps laying siege on Jerusalem itself. Yet in this psalm, we see hope, courage, and defiance springing from the certainty of God's presence. The scene builds to a climax until silence suddenly descends. Then you can hear his assuring voice in that psalm. It says, be still and know that I am God. I don't know about you. I don't know whether you've been in a situation where it seems like everything is coming and has besieged and surrounded you to the point that you actually can feel the pressure. But because God was there with you, all of a sudden hope arises. All of a sudden the fear disappears. All of a sudden you are defiant of whatever is coming against you. And all you can hear is God telling you, be still and know that I am God. I believe God wants to send this message to somebody here today. You know, this message, the scripture we read in this message talks about the city of David. That is the Zion, Mount Zion, where David will hide, you know, from the enemy. Now, it was a physical city where David will hide from the enemy. But that physical city, at the point, became a spiritual place of worship. You know, how you can be in a very difficult physical situation where the enemy is coming. But because of the assurance of God's presence, that environment turns into a place of worship. How many of you have been in that situation before? You have been in a situation where you've been praying and trusting and believing and holding on to God for a particular situation. And all you know of that place is pain, is cry, your knees are even, you know, paining, or you've bent for too long, and you've just said, Lord, when are you going to come through? And all of a sudden, God comes through, and that place became a place of worship. That was exactly what was happening in this place. Because you see, in verse 4, it says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High God. I want to share with you today a message that is a question. And that question is, who is your refuge? I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, who is your refuge? Now, you got to understand, I need help when I preach. I want to make sure you're participating, amen? And most importantly, I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. Who is your refuge? Because that's the story what we're having here, you know. What's a refuge? A refuge is a place or situation providing safety or shelter from pursuit, from danger, or difficulty. That's what a refuge is. It's a place where people run to for danger. You know, it's so interesting. I was looking at some refuge, and I saw the rich man refuge. There are some rich men now. What they've done is they've created a refuge for themselves if there's an atomic bomb or if there's a you know, Third World War or Fourth World War. They spent a lot of money. Can you believe that's actually a bunker, a refuge, away from destruction? That's a man-made one. That's a man-made, you see how much effort they put into it to make sure that their life is safe. But you know, it's just for temporary safety. Because what we are talking about here is more than that. Some people, their refuge is alcohol. Some is sex. Some actually, their refuge is loneliness. You know, how many of you know people who withdraw and in the when there is attack? They just don't want to have anything to do with anybody. I know people like that. You know, when they are going through things, and I tell them, that's not the time you hide. That's the time you show up. And let's fight this together. You see, they go and they hide. People have many ways of seeking refuge. It could be even people who they are overbearing on others. You know, it's a way of refuge. They might not tell you, but they are just trying to find somewhere to have meaning, to actually feel like if they are doing something over the life of others. For me, when I was growing up, this woman, my mom, was my refuge. Anytime my dad is after me, I run to her bosom. And she provides the comfort. How many of you still have kids that do that? When dad is, they run to mom and hide. What is your refuge? Three things that we can do to make God our refuge. The first one is prayer. Who you turn to, the first person you communicate to, the one that you pray to, indicates that you have the trust that is able to save and to deliver. The best way you can know who your refuge is what is the first thing you do? And when I say prayer, I'm not talking about, you know, 1 hour prayer. You know, I mean, how many of you know you can actually just open your mouth and just pray, Lord, thank you for this moment. I commit it to you. Even before you pick up the phone and talk to somebody, even before you start to grumble or complain, turn to God. Through prayer, you seek refuge. Prayer is not religion. Prayer is really a relationship with a God that wants to hear you communicate to him. And in that psalm that is there for prayers, it says in Psalm 18, verse 22 to 3, it says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. God is our refuge. Everybody say, God is our refuge. But the way we show that is that we trust him with our life through prayers. We trust that when we call upon him, he hears us and he answers us. You know, I was living in Australia for many years and my dad passed away. And it seems like my family was going to disintegrate. I mean, I'm in Australia. My family's in Nigeria. There was no way I could rush over to Nigeria to help the situation. I just saw the hand of the enemy trying to want to divide the family. And the only thing I knew to do is to run to my refuge. I bent my knee before God. I cried to him many days, asking him to intervene. And I tell you, there was a miraculous turnaround. I mean, me myself, I was shocked to see the level of turnaround. Because the things that the enemy had planned is to destroy the family. You know, when in a family, you begin to have people pass accusation of, you know, witchcraft or whatsoever, you know, and everybody is like suspicious of everybody. And it started from somewhere. And I said, where did this start from? And I said, God, you are our refuge in this family. And I saw God walk through and came through. When you go to God and you pray, it is very important that you are praying accordingly. You are not going to God to you know, pray something that is contrary to the will of God. You're praying, you're asking Him to help you in the time of need. The other thing is worship. Bringing the whole army of heaven into the situation. Worship brings down the presence of God. Anytime you feel oppressed, anytime you feel depressed, anytime you feel that the world is against you or things are not working out, maybe you've witnessed to somebody, maybe you've tried, you know, to see reconciliation in your family. How many of you know you can bring heaven down into that situation through worship? There are a couple of scriptures there. I'm not going to go through it, but I want you to write it down. Psalm 34 is my favorite one. That psalm says, I will bless the Lord at all time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I called upon God. He heard me and He delivered me from all my fears. If I could sing, I will sing that. How many of you know that's a song? I will bless the Lord at all times. No matter what the situation is, I will bless the Lord. In dry situation, I will bless the Lord. In difficult situation, I will bless the Lord. I worship Him. As you worship God, you invoke, you bring His presence down. The psalmist says in Psalm 91, who will dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, who abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What's he doing? He's invoking, he's bringing God's presence into the particular situation. Second Chronicles is another very good example of worship. Jehoshaphat worshiping. Read all those scriptures when you get home. Just put them down. The second thing, and I want us to go through this quickly, is the Word of God. When you really want to make God your refuge, the first is what? Prayer. Everybody say prayer. The second is what? Worship. Everybody say worship. The third is the Word of God. The Word of God is where you get direction, where the peace of God comes over you. There's an assurance of His presence. You know, every time you read the Word of God, not in the letters, but by the Spirit, you feel God's presence around you. You can read the Word of God to get direction. You can read the Word of God for wisdom. There are so many scriptures that you can look to. Every time I go into the scripture, I feel a safety. Meaning the scripture can be a place of refuge for me. Meaning my heart can be steadfast in the word of God. In Psalm 119 verse 05, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's talking about guidance here. When you go into the word of God, it's not just a ceremony. It's about guidance. It's about direction. It's about assurance of His promise in your life. Amen. So we have three ways. We are guaranteed those three ways that if we want to make God our refuge, these are the ways we can make this happen. Who can remember the first one? The second one. The third one. Wow, give yourself a big hand. You guys are fantastic. So, those are the three things that we engage in to make the reality of that. If you are doing that, these are three outcomes that you will experience in your life. How many of you know the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55 that the word of God will not fall to the ground? It will accomplish what it's been sent to accomplish. So if you communicate with God, if you worship Him, if you spend time in the Word, these are the three outcomes that you begin to see in your life. These three outcomes will guarantee you, will show you that God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? So, these three outcomes I want to share with you today. Number one, when we go to God as our refuge, we get the help we need, not the help we want. Even though it says a present help, but at times, the help you want is not the help you need. Some of us might go to God and say, Lord, oh God, my marriage, oh my finance, oh God, my, you know, my campus, my neighbors, my, you know, whatever it is. And God will say, well, fine, I hear that. But how about my relationship with you? How about really let's tidy up this area of our relationship and work together? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be what? Added unto you. Why not let's do this? So you see, at times when we go to God as our refuge and there's a time of prayer and we're saying, Lord, help us. At times God might be saying, yes, I want to help you, but would you listen? Would you get the help I want to give you? Because when I give you this help, all the other things will line up. How many of you know that's how God operates? Because he knows the best thing for us. And he doesn't want us to put the cart before the horse. You know, he wants to make sure that we get it right. Amen. So when God is your help, maybe what you need to do is to hear what he really wants to do in your life and your relationship. Psalm 46 that we read says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. When God is your help, there's an assurance, a reassurance that God is always present. He is your refuge and your strength. He also gives you supernatural strength to overcome. How many of you want to experience supernatural strength to overcome? He gives it to you. You can't do it on your own. You can't walk the land on your own. You can't reach the people on your, you need the help of God. I was so impressed by, you know, the campus team that came to Australia, to Sydney. And the guy was sharing with us, he says, every day before I go to campus, I spend time praying. And he says, once a week, I go to the campus praying and fasting to see the campus change for the glory of God. He says, we've got all the tactics, we've got all the structures, we've got everything but prayer, the importance of that. And I know you guys do a lot of prayer in this place. In Psalm 9, verse 9, it says, the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him. When we trust in God, it comes true for us, and our heart rejoices greatly, and we praise him. The second point, when God is our refuge, it becomes an immovable and impregnable defense around us. A defense is a wall of protection. A defense is a wall of protection. You know the story of Job. The devil said, well, there's a protection around Job. We know also in Israel, before the children of Israel went into Jericho, there was a mighty wall. God had to pull that down. An impregnable defense. You know, when we talk about the presence of God, what are we talking about here? We are talking about God's presence as a wall around us. That's how you feel his presence. A lot of you don't know that. You probably don't know that he's always there with you as you're going. At times you hear somebody say, oh, where's God? But he's always there. That's why, you know, many things had happened in my life, maybe in your life, that could have taken you out. But because God is being your shield, is being your wall, it's been your protection, the enemy did not have a way to penetrate. I thank God that God has been that for me. Because there were so many times the enemy had tried to penetrate my life. There are many times that maybe I wouldn't even be here. You know, last year, you know, I had some medical issues and it was very scary. But I knew God was my defense. I knew God was the wall around my life. Amen. And I went to the doctor. They did all they have to do. And eventually they told me, wow. I mean, it's so wonderful the way things have turned out for you. I said, well, thank you for that. I know who is in charge. I know the God that is my defense. That is my wall of defense. That's what you get when God is your refuge. It's not just by name. He's there with you. Say, God is with me right now. Say it as if you believe that. Say, God is with me. Say, if God is for me, who can be against me? It's a wall around your life. It's impregnable. It cannot be pulled down, no matter what the enemy tries to tell you. I can assure you that. And you in Psalm 46, we read that. You know, I'm not going to spend a lot of time reading that. But in Psalm 125, it says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be what? Which cannot be what? But abide. Mount Zion is still there today. It cannot be moved. It abides there forever. Go to Israel. As the Lord surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. It's not just surrounding them then. It's surrounding you now. Amen. God is surrounding you now with his presence. So there's an assurance. If God is your refuge, then God is surrounding you right now. I'm sure you know the story. I'll give it to you. 2 Kings, you can write it down. Chapter 6. It's Elisha, the story of Elisha and the army that came to besiege Elisha. And they came around him in 2 Kings chapter 6. You can read it. The Aramaeans army, they came around him and they were going to attack him. And the servant of Elisha was afraid. Now, Elisha said, God, can you open the eyes of these servants to see the wall that surrounds us? And when God opened the eyes of the servants, he saw angels surrounding them. Angels are surrounding you right now. Angels are surrounding you right now. He saw the wall of angels surrounding him. And very beautiful. So I pray that will be your portion in Jesus' mighty name. Finally, when God is our refuge, we will not fear. When God is our refuge, we will not fear. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love, because love casts out all fears. Perfect love. And love is God. God is love. There is no fear. You know, we fear of so many things. You know, at times, some of us will fear of life partners. Some of us will fear financial thing. You know, some people, you know, they're so afraid of the future financially that actually that drives the way they operate in this present moment. But when God is with you, you do the right thing, but you are not afraid. Some people, it's their health. They're afraid. I go to my doctors, I'm the one that encourages him. He says, you should be afraid. I said, no, I'm afraid what? I'm not afraid. Because I have God on my side. But some people are afraid. I've had people who went into the doctor's surgery. They didn't know anything. When they came out and I talked to them, I said, what happened? They started to tell me all these medical terminologies. I don't understand it. I said, where did you get that from? He said, it's from the doctor. And you know what? Before I knew it, they started to go downhill because they've kind of embraced all those terminologies. I said, did you go to medical school? Are you a doctor? You just went in now and you are out and you know all these things? I mean, I wish you go in and you come back, know all the scripture says about by his stripes you have been healed. He himself took upon his body all your infirmity. I wish you go in like that and come back out like that. To say that, you see, fear grips people. It could even be fear, you know, a family thing and everything. Does that? What you begin to see when you know that God is your refuge, you're beginning to get what you need, not what you want. And that will catapult you to say, Lord, thank you. If I had gotten that, I would have ended up somewhere. But thank you that you know what I need. Some people go into marriages because of what they want. And God says, that's not what you need. That's not who you need. You get what I'm saying? When God is your refuge, you can tell me the second point. When God is your refuge, what's the second point? When God is your refuge, it becomes a wall of protection. You can go anywhere. Don't be afraid. You can talk to anybody. Don't be afraid. You can enter into any business. Don't be afraid. You can apply for any job. Don't be afraid. Amen. Don't be afraid. If God is your protection, if he's your refuge, you can be sure it will always continue to protect you. Nobody can implicate you, even at your place of work. Number three, you will not fear.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.